I always enjoy coming back to Eagle Heights, despite the three-hour drive from Lynchburg. I think this is about as far north as our presbytery goes in the Blue Ridge. And then it goes all the way down to, forget the name, Southwest Virginia or South somewhere. Yeah. So we're going to be looking at Psalm 67 in Genesis chapter 12. Let's start with Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the people with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. And then the seed of that blessing being sown in Abraham's life in Genesis 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The grass withers, the flowers fade, the word of our God stands forever. Let's ask God to teach us this morning. Almighty God, you have blessed us. You have made every single human being in your image. And we reflect the unity and the diversity that we see in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So be gracious to us, God, and continue to bless us. And teach us this morning through your word, open up our eyes and open up our hearts that we might be glad and sing for joy with all the nations. And teach us why you bless us. And it's all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last night I went around this great city of Winchester, and I noticed that there was a local ice cream shop, and ironically it was named the same thing as a local ice cream shop in Lynchburg, and that is the Dairy Queen. So had no idea. I wonder if the owners had consulted with each other or anything. And I decided, first I wasn't going to do it. And then I did. I drove over to the Dairy Queen, and what we normally do in my family is we get a blizzard, and we get an extra cup, and we get an extra spoon. And then we, Amy and I, split a blizzard. But last night, my wife was not there, and so I just got a blizzard with one spoon. Hashtag blessed. Right? No one to share it with. So isn't it the way that we think of blessing normally in the hashtag that developed on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram of hashtag bless? Isn't it so often a blessing that's self-centered? A blessing that is self-focused? And sure enough, after I finished my blizzard, my thought was, I shouldn't have done that, right? I kind of have a problem with dairy, you know. Amy said, you're going to stop doing that one of these days, like, you know. But the blessing that we see in Scripture is much deeper and more profound, and unlike leading to regret, it leads to dancing and joy and gladness. These are the pictures that we see in Psalm 67. It's a deep and lasting blessing, And one of the pastors in our denomination, Duke Kwan, said, "The many-sided glory of grace turns navel-gazing into nation-gazing. Navel-gazing into nation-gazing." For those of you that like outlines, I'm going to frustrate you because I'm probably not going to follow it, but here's an outline for you. Blessing. What is it? Who gets it? What's it for? First, what is it? And the answer to that question begins in verse 1, where there's a pronouncement of blessing, and it's a riff off of what we call the Aaronic blessing. And it's when Moses came to Aaron and he said, "This is how you are to bless the people of Israel." And you're probably familiar with this Aaronic blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. It's a blessing that's all about grace, that God pours out his blessing upon his children who are sinners, who go astray. I was, so summertime parents, I think there's more parents here in this service than the last service, and there's a reason for that, right? Summertime is weird, like it's so unstructured, and I have like a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old, so what do you do in an unstructured time like that when you have a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old? You look up where all the VBSs are. Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School again. We even had two churches do the same Vacation Bible School curriculum. So my kids really knew the songs by the end of the second one. But there was one time, like, we showed up and my daughter Caroline, who was 10, was doing her performance. And she looked out and I was actually like grabbing my phone and trying to get my phone all together so that I could get a video of this performance. And afterward, she came to me wounded and hurt because she said, "Dad, when I looked out, you were on your phone." And that wasn't the case for my brother, right, who's 5. Anybody else have a little sibling rivalry going on? But dads, our Heavenly Father, his face smiles upon us. "Let his face shine upon you" is a smile, the smile of the Father when you look in his word and you see that he has indeed declared you number one, that no matter your sin, even though you're unrighteous, the smile of the Father is upon you. That's the blessing of God. Kids, be encouraged that your Heavenly Father doesn't get distracted by a phone and not look upon you and smile at you. And also, fathers, let's take that as an exhortation to put the phones down and to be more like God the Father. He smiles upon his children in his worst day, in our worst days. And that's not often how we think of God, is it? Like, I sometimes think that he's just at least mildly disappointed with me all the time. But because God smiles upon us, because he sets his love upon his children, we already have every blessing in Christ Jesus. We're joined to Christ, and everything that is true of Jesus is true of us. And that is if you put your faith and trust in Christ, and you can consider that an invitation this morning. But the Bible gets more specific with the kind of blessing that he gives. The writer of this song probably has in mind Leviticus 26, where God gives blessing through rain. Sometimes you're like, that's an overabundant blessing, that it's too much. Let's get past the rain. Food, peace, presence, liberation, salvation, freedom. Now, this is not the kind of blessing that Jeff Borden was referring to, if God will make you rich. And you just have to sow that seed, and we're going to pass the offering plate, and just give me a love offering and God will bless you and make you rich, right? It's not that. Although if you want to do that, that's fine. But it is a blessing that he just pours out upon us. And if God does bless you with riches and make you rich, he does so with a purpose, as we'll see in just a moment. I love the abundance of God's blessing, the picture of that in Leviticus chapter 26. It says, you will still be eating last year's harvest when you will have to move it out to make room for the new. It's kind of like when you're in a restaurant and you're really enjoying the appetizer, and then they bring the main course and you're like, you know, like trying to finish that appetizer, and you just have to move it out to make room for this beautiful meal that's about to be set before you. The ways that God blesses us through his grace. He pours out blessings spiritually, every blessing in Christ, but also that blessing is not only for the soul, but also for the body. And look at verse 1 where it tells us who gets it. Be gracious to us. That's God's people. Bless us. Make your face shine upon us. And all of this started with Abraham. And when the call of God came to Abraham, what was Abraham like? Well, he was a moon worshiper. He was running the opposite direction from God, just like everyone else that was around him. And yet God plucks him out and calls him out and asks him to leave everything that is familiar and leave his comfort zone. And some of you right now have left things that are familiar and you are following Jesus and you are going to a place that God will show you. And you're like, I wish I knew where it was right now. But what's interesting is in history, God's people, and you see this in the Old Testament, you certainly see this in the New Testament with the Pharisees, they tend to take the blessing of being chosen by God and interpret that as we are choice. We're the choice ones. And so then you start thinking about us versus them, about insiders and our group versus the outsiders, and then the right ones versus the wrong ones. Thinking in a very binary way about people. And we often, it's crazy that God pours out all this grace upon you, and he was doing that with his disciples, with the followers of Jesus. And those disciples were like arguing on the road, and he's like, what were you guys arguing about? And then they were quiet because they were arguing about which one of them was the greatest and which one would sit at his right hand, and thinking that he was coming to rule in power and shut down the Romans so that they could be in charge and Israel could be in charge. We misinterpret like what the blessing is for. And we often behave like the guy in Matthew 18 who was forgiven millions of dollars of debt by the king, and then he goes out and finds the guy that owes him a few thousand bucks, grabs him by the neck and chokes him and says, pay me what you owe. And the religious leaders in Jesus' day were so good at tithes and learning the Bible backwards and forwards, and yet they were neglecting mercy. And they were neglecting justice. And then they said to Jesus, like, we're children of Abraham. We're okay because we belong to Abraham. We have like a get out of hell free card. It's Abraham. We're children of Abraham. And Jesus said, it's from these very stones that I could raise up children of Abraham. So why is it that we get blessed? If we're rich, and we are rich, everyone in here, by the standards of history and by the standards of the world right now, we have been given more than previous generations before us, even if you're at the poverty line, right? Even if you're struggling. And the short answer is that we get blessing to give it. It moves outward. Verse 2 through 5 of chapter 67, Romans 67. Psalm 67. that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. And that's not like known in a bad way, like, oh yeah, we know about them. Known in such a way that the peoples praise God. All the peoples praise God. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. And this promise to Abraham goes all the way through Scripture. And then we see it like loudly proclaimed in the Great Commission. I grew up in church, and I, you know, went to a few VBSs myself, like maybe some of you. And I remember, like, some of them were on the Great Commission. Everybody say, go and make disciples. And you ever echo in back. But we left out a big part of it. And it seems like we do that over and over. Go and make disciples. Who are we to make disciples of? All nations. And then immediately, many of our minds, we go to nations in Africa, like in what Jeff Borden is doing and others are doing, and like nations around the world, nation states. But this is not talking about nation states. This is talking about all those with a common identity, culturally, ethnically, linguistically. We are to make disciples of all nations. And thankfully, you and I, if you live in the United States, we live in a place that is a nation of nations. We have the tired. We have the poor. We have the humble masses. Like, come here and settle among us. And if you've read the trend that's happening in the United States, you will know that we're not too far away for there not being a clear ethnic majority in the United States. And instead of like burying our heads in the sand and be like, oh, for the good old days, let's rejoice and be glad. Because we don't have to spend as much money on sending people overseas, because overseas is coming to us. And God has chosen to put his image on display with all these different nations. And we can look to peoples and all the peoples and hopefully see peoples put their faith and trust in Jesus and be glad and sing for joy. All the billions of members of humanity together. Consider these words from a Dutch theologian named Herman Bavinck. Herman Bavinck. And those of you that have a Dutch heritage, you already know the expression, right? If it ain't Dutch, it ain't much. But Bavinck didn't get so caught up on his Dutchness that he couldn't see the image of God spread throughout billions of members of humanity. He said this: the image of God is much too rich for it to be fully realized in a single human being, however richly gifted that human being may be. It can only be somewhat unfolded in its depth and riches in a humanity counting billions of members. And just as the cosmos is a unity and receives its head and master in humankind, so also that humanity in turn is to be conceived as an organism that precisely as such is finally the only fully developed image of God, not as a heap of souls on a tract of land, nor as a loose aggregate of individuals, but as having been created out of one blood, as one household and one family. Humanity is the image and likeness of God. And don't we want to see that image in all of its fullness? Because Jesus is the image of God, the exact representation of who God is. And this image of God is fuel for connecting with all different kinds of people. The image of God is the fuel for loving your enemy. As I've looked into Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and his writings, the way that he went forward and did the kinds of things that he did and loved people who definitely did not love him back is through the doctrine of the image of God. In fact, when you sit at the dinner table or you're in a discussion at work with someone that you just disagree with big time, the two of you just disagree together, think of it this way. One professor said this, like, the image of God in me greets the image of God in you. What if that were the starting point of dialogue in our deeply divided nation? The image of God in me greets the image of God in you. And there is no single person that is not made in God's image. And God calls out people, his children, to get the blessing. We are God's plan A for peace in this world. We are God's plan A from taking this world that once God looked out and said, my creation is very good. And now looks out and says, right. This very good creation needs to be restored. And his called out ones, God's people, those that he has poured his blessing out upon, we are the ones that are his plan A for restoration. We get the blessing so we can give it. Oh, that God is raising up so many people that are not afraid to love their neighbor and to give that blessing. Unlike the self-centered blessing, the DQ type blessing, that leaves you empty, that leaves you saying, I shouldn't have done that. God's blessing leaves you with joy, and you will find, if you want to lose your life, then try to save it. If you want to save your life, then give it away. Give that blessing away, and you will find joy. Now, you'll have to go out of your comfort zone. You'll have to go out into the wilderness, as it were. And as one person says, you have to brave the wilderness. But you're going to find all sorts of other people in the wilderness, many of them who have suffered greatly, but yet have great joy. What would being a blessing look like? Are we blessed? Kids and moms and dads, like, do you ever read Shel Silverstein at bedtime? I love some Shel Silverstein for my 10-year-old and for my 5-year-old. It's great. But that book, The Giving Tree, it's powerful. Like, You're reading it and you're like thinking about the whole span of life and you're, time is fleeting and look at this. But there's some folks at the Acton Institute that made a riff off of the giving tree and they called it the ungiving tree. And this is how it goes. Once there was a tree that had so much to give. It had branches to climb. It had leaves to jump in and fruit to eat. But this tree wanted to keep these gifts to himself. And every autumn, children would come and try to gather the leaves and make piles to climb and to play in. And the tree would call the police. And every spring, children would try to climb up this trunk and swing from the branches, and the tree would release his pet python, Larry. And then in the illustration, it's kind of scary, Larry is eating the little boy. And the tree decided finally that it had had enough. Never again is anyone to climb my branches or rest in my shade. My fruit, my leaves, they are mine, mine, mine. And the tree took all that he had and held it in for months and years. And then the illustration shows this tree with a barbed wire fence all the way around the tree. Mine, mine, mine. Probably like an ADT alarm as well, like on the, you know, there you go. Oh, that was a joke, come on. They're like, wait, I have an ADT alarm. Yeah, I have had one too. So, and soon, hardly anyone remembered the story of the tree that had so much to give. And then the last illustration is this little stump with a barbed wire all around it, and it's rotting away. I just finished doing 17 years of campus ministry with RUF, and over the years, there's certainly been a phenomena of kids going to college and then never coming back to church, you know, taking some time off from Jesus and then never coming back to Jesus. But there's a really disturbing trend now that for the last few years, maybe starting around 2016, people leaving the evangelical church that I grew up in droves and going away. And I hope that it's not going to be the case that one day we see the evangelical church as this little stump with all the barbed wire wrapped around it because we decided to say, mine, 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 my money, my power, my politics, my abusing those who have less status than I do. Because the story would be, and soon one day no one remembered the tree of the evangelical wing of Christianity, like having so much to give. Don't get me wrong. Jesus is building his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And if the evangelical part of it turns into a stump, there will be a shoot that comes off of that, a remnant of Jesus followers who are zealous and ready to give, who know that the blessing comes so that we can be a blessing. I was hearing earlier just all the ways that Eagle Heights is a blessing and seeks to be a blessing in this community. And let this be encouragement to be a blessing all the more. And let this also be encouragement to think about how can I individually and as a church in discussions that might take place, how can we better be a blessing to this community of Winchester? If Eagle Heights ceased to exist tomorrow, if Eagle Heights became a stump or something, would the city of Winchester miss us and say, wow, they're gone. We need them because when we have them, we rejoice and we are glad because of the ways that they come and they bless our city. If our churches, wherever they may be, cease to exist, would the places around them miss us? We used to have discussions in RUF. Would RUF be missed if we got kicked off campus tomorrow? Right. We need to kind of ask ourselves these questions because we're blessed to be a blessing. We get power and influence so that we can give it away. We're brought near by grace so that we can bring other people near by grace to the Lord Jesus. We are forgiven so that we can forgive other people. And that's a hard, hard truth that we have to forgive those who have harmed us and hurt us. And Peter thought that was a hard, hard truth. And he's like, Jesus, how many times do I have to do this thing? And Jesus said, 70 times 7. And I doubt Peter went back to his whiteboard and started keeping a tally until he got to 490, right? So that he could not forgive anymore. He got the point. forgive because we've been forgiven. We owed a debt of multi-millions of dollars, and that debt has been excused. Let us not go and find someone who owes us a few thousand and choke them and say, pay me what you owe. We've got so much to give. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that one day we will see you. And we thank you that the nations will be glad, and that the nations will sing for joy, and that they already are, and that in Christ right now, the dividing wall of hostility that exists in race and in class and elsewhere is now broken down, and that you have made us one new man in Christ Jesus. And we pray that with this reconciliation that we have with you, we would go and seek reconciliation with others. With this love that we have from you, we would go and love others as you have loved us. And we pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.